So Shavua Tov, we are starting a new piece on Ois Tes Zayin, Perkes Ois Tes Zayin in the Meimarom. And this is actually the last piece regarding the part of the Rambam that we learned inside so far. After that, we'll go to back to the Rambam to finish off, and then the last four pieces in the Sefer. So, Ez Hashem. All right. So we're starting now. Ois Tes Zayin. It says, "Hevdel Tahomi Ben HaKlal VeHaPrat Shel Yisrael LaKlal VaPrat Shel HaAmim." So this is a big statement. He says there's a huge difference between the whole concept of Klal and Prat that exists by the Jewish people to the idea of Klal and Prat, right, that exists by the nations. So, of course, the Klal is the idea of the general body, and the Prat is the details, the specifics that make up, the individuals that make up that general body. And by the... Now, he doesn't mean, as we're going to see, he doesn't mean only that... Oh, my video's still off. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. He doesn't mean only that the idea that Klal Yisrael has a specific concept of Klal and Prat, which the non-Jewish world has a different concept of. They don't have that the same concept as us. They have a different idea of it. They have a different way of explaining it. But rather, he means that there is an inherent difference in the very fabric of the Jewish people when it comes to Klal and Prat that is very different to the fabric of the Klal and Prat that's by the Jewish people. So it's not just conceptual, but rather a real inherent difference. Before we continue, I'll preface with just a cute thing. I was once at a Shevet Brachas with Rav Chaim Kreisworth Zatal, and at the beginning or during, I don't remember, when he got up to speak by the, it was a Shal Shudas Shevet Brachas, and he said, "Does anybody know what the idea, what Knesset Yisrael means? What does Knesset Yisrael mean?" And like, I think everybody basically gave kind of blank stares, and he said, "No one here knows what Knesset Yisrael is." And the truth is that I was into this stuff back then, so I was really a bit amused by it, but I understood exactly what he meant. And what he really meant was very connected to what we're going to speak about here, what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to say about the idea of the Klal Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is really the neshama of Klal Yisrael. It's really that body of the Jewish people, body and soul, but when I say body and soul, I mean, you know, the Klal of the Jewish people, which is which we're going to see. We're going to see what this idea is. That's just preface it that will give us insight into Rav Kreisworth's question: what is Knesset Yisrael? So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Eitzel ha'amim, by the nations, in Klal rak prat." There is no Klal. There is no real Klal. It's only Prat. It's only specifics, details that appear, that exist by the non-Jewish world. V'rak mitoch kibbutz ha-pratim nasa Klal. And it's only from the gathering together of the specifics, of the details, that the Klal is made. You know, if you want to say like Rousseau's social contract, you know, you have a contract between many individuals, and that social contract gives you the idea of a nation, of a people. But there's nothing inherently connecting those pratim together. There's nothing past. All those pratim are a collection of the details, the sum of the parts. Okay? Ve'etzel Yisrael behefech. But by the Jewish nation, the exact opposite is true. She'en kol prat. There is no such thing as a prat by the Jewish people. Va'ikur hu aklal. The ikur is the klal. V'apratim hem chalakim ha-yotzim min ha-klal. And the details are parts of that general body. They're parts of that klal. They're coming out of the klal. But really, they're just an extension. They're pieces of the klal. B'shvil le'atzmo, i'efshel li'achid mi'Yisrael lo'tzi atzmo min ha-klal. For this reason itself, it is impossible for an individual from the Jewish people to take him out, take himself out of the klal. There's no such thing as making yourself non-Jewish. You know, you're there one way or the other. Sharei ein lo mitziut pratit, because the individual, the person doesn't have any individual mitzius. Ela shehu nimshach mitoch haklal abilti nifrad. He's just an extension. He's just a continuation from the klal, which is inseparable. Sheken kol Yisrael im bal neshama achas gedola hamira lekulam. Because the whole Jewish people are really just one big neshama that's illuminating to all of them. Atem, like Chazal say, he says, Atem asu'uni chativa achas ba'olam. You made me one unit in the world, because we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We hold that banner, we publicize the message that God is really just one. Af ani ese etchem chativa achat ba'olam. I'm also going to make you one unit in the world, like the Gemara says, right? Because it says, Goy Echad Ba'aretz, right? Mikam Chiso, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Who's like you, the Jewish people? They're just one nation. They have a oneness to them. And that's mean what Hashem is saying, that I will make you a Chativa Achas, means, Sheyigale et ha'ofi ha'amiti shel Yisrael. That he's going to reveal the true character of the Jewish people. Shehem be'emes neshama achas miuchada mutzaka b'mutzak echad. That they're really just one special solid neshama. They're one solidified neshama. They're not made up of parts. They are a pure oneness. And yes, we are all extensions or parts of that oneness. We're expressions of that oneness. So we're all different pieces of expression of that oneness. But essentially, we are all literally one neshama. There's a famous comment by Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, something to the effect of, like, when a Jewish person shaves his beard off, meant in a forbidden way, shaves his beard off in, I don't know, was it France or Italy, whatever, so it's my beard, you know, it's like it's me, it's not someone else. He was expressing the same idea that Klal Yisrael, it's not just Chaverim Klal Yisrael, it's not just that all the Jewish people are responsible for each other, but they're all literally one. We're all really one. It's a fascinating idea. In Halacha, in Gemara, we find two concepts. We find the concept of a tzibur, and we find the concept of shutfin. In Kodshim especially, it comes up. So you have, for example, a carbon tzibur. And carbon tzibur has to be coming from the Jewish people as a unit, as a unified oneness. And that belongs to the tzibur, right? Or for example, you have, like, you know, a tzibur is obviously a minyan, at least 10 people, generally when we have hilchas tzibur. And that oneness is what we would say is that wholeness is more than the sum of its parts. It's more than the sum of its parts. It's an independent unit in its own right. It's way more than just putting together the individuals. And when it comes to the idea of shutfis is another concept, where people are partners in something. When people are partners in something, right, you could have 10 people that have a partnership in something. So each partner is an equal, let's say, they're equal partners, which means each one has a partner. It's a partner, they each have parts in that whole. But nobody owns the whole thing. Nobody is a bailim over the whole thing. By the tzibur, everybody has a connection and a certain bialis to every single part of the carbon, for example. And that's very different than a shutfis. You know, where you have it, it comes up in halachas of selling chametz or ribis or interest when it comes to stocks. So there's a question. Let's say, for example, if you're going to be making interest or making money over Pesach from stocks that are selling, that their business is chametz. So can you make money off of that, or you have to sell your stocks before Pesach? That might be a lot of money. So one of the svaris that one of the big paiskim put out there, I'm not saying halacha lemaisa, it's big machlekes that paiskim, probably a majority today of the paiskim are against this, don't hold of it, I don't know, but in any case, but they have this idea of chevrat ba'am, a heter that since the company is not owned by any specific individual, so it's not considered that it's your chametz. It doesn't, even if you have stocks in it, but it's like it's its own body, which is past. It's past just the collection of the parts, right? The chevrat ba'am, how do you say that in English? I don't know. It's a company. A company is not just the collection of its owners, but it's a body in its own right that has its own mitzias, its own...
A corporation,
that was the word I was looking for. It has its own existence, and therefore it can't just be related to in the idea of shutfis, but rather tzibur. That would be a mashal using, the idea of the difference between a corporate and just stam a business partnership between two or three individuals. In any case, so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying that the klal by klal Yisrael is this idea of a tzibur, of a sum, of something that's a whole, where the parts are nourishing and are expressions of that, nourishing from and are expressions of that whole, but they're not just, but the whole is more than just the sum of those people, the sum of those individuals, as opposed to the Gaisha concept of the concept of klal that exists, right? The idea, the klal itself that exists by goyim is only one built on a partnership, is where a bunch of people got together and formed a klal. But there's nothing inherently in the klal more than those individuals. Okay, so v'zeo gam hevdel, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. This is also the difference. Sheben mishpat Yisrael l'mishpat ha'amim. With this, he explains what's also the difference between Jewish law and non-Jewish law. She'etz la'amim, because by the nations, kimohem ken osehem, the same way they are, so too are those who make kol mishpatehem, all their laws, bnuyim anisyonot ha'prat. All their laws are built on the experiences of the individual. And thus, it is absolutely automatic. It's an automatic fact that there will come some injustice out of their justice, out of their mishpat, out of their judgment. Ki ein bekoach klal haba mikibutz pratim umorot pratim sheyechaven lekol prat uprat mitavev venolad michadash. It is impossible for a klal that's based on gathering together of the sum of the parts, right? It's and experiences, individual experiences, that klal can be suited for every single detail and specific case that's ever going to come up and arise in the future. It's impossible, because it's like the Gemara says, "Daya lovim min adin." You can only come from what you're coming from. So if their klal and their law is based on just previous experiences, okay, but there were experiences that they didn't have yet that might not be suitable to that mishpat, and yet, too bad, that's the law. So sometimes it will be unjust. ומכאן הניגודים שנמצאים בין הכלל לפרט, בין הרבים ליחיד ובין פרט ופרט בפני עצמם. And from here are the different conflicts that exist between the klal and the prat, between the general and the detail, between the many and the individual, right? You have the clashing, you know, conflicts between some moral conflicts and legal conflicts between the rights of the masses and the rights of the individual, you know. So, and then you have between the different details themselves conflicts. Lo kein, but that's not so by the halacha. That's not so by the Torah's halacha, the Torah's mishpat. Mishpatei Hashem emes shehem tzadku yachtov. Right, the pasuk is mishpatei Hashem emes tzadku yachtov. That's a chiddush. The judgments of Hashem are true. They are justice. They bring justice together. Meaning, there's no conflicting. All the different angles and all are accounted for. They all complement each other, and they will always end up tzedek. They will always end up just. Why? Mishpatei Hashem. Yeah, in Beis Din. In Beis Din. It means a Beis Din. Yeah. If they're going, yeah, we're not talking about a Beis Din that, let's say, they did something wrong, right? But we're talking about where they're pasuning based on halacha, where they're pasuning based on the Torah. They're doing their best, you know? So, he says, why is that so? Rabbi Yaakov Moshe speaks about this. There's a big hakdama of his on this issue in the beginning of Beis Zvul, printed in the beginning of his Gemara Halacha Sfarim, Beis Zvul Chelek Vav. Now, again, we know that there's a concept, and we find this in Rashi in different places, that sometimes, right, it might look like there was something unjust, okay, but inherently it will be bringing justice, because in the fabric of the cosmos is that the right, what has to happen, is going to happen through the Mishpatei Hashem. So sometimes to the human eye, there may look like something was unjust, but the Svarim say, Chazal already say, that this was something which had to happen because of other things that we're not aware of. Okay, this guy was supposed to lose money, this guy was supposed to get money, this guy was supposed to fall off the ladder, right? Whatever, fell off the ladder. Everything is going to exactly the way it happened. But the idea is that inherently, the Torah is Mishpatei Hashem, the laws of Hashem, they are emes, shem tzadku yachtav, they're working together always. There's no conflicts in them. Everything is accounted for in perfection. And why is that? Ki kula mitzad haklal. Because all the Mishpatei Hashem are coming mitzad the klal. They're coming from the angle of, from the perspective, from the side of the klal. Ve'ein, from the whole. Ve'ein prat. Shelo yenim shechach ach mimet. And thus there is no detail that is not drawn from that hole. Al kein muchrach. Therefore, it's absolutely logically, right? Muchrach. It's compulsory. It has to be this way. Shaklal yakif gam et haprat. That the klal will also encompass. That the klal will encompass also the prat. Shari gam hu noveh mimenu. Because the prat is just flowing out of that hole. And therefore the Mishpatei Hashem, the laws of Hashem, were said specifically and only for the Jewish people, who despite all their external conflicts between them are really all just one solidified body. All the conflicts between them, but im gam kein achle ragleha ichud shebehem. The conflicts in the Jewish people, within the Jewish people, they come specifically because of the tremendous unity that they have. Shekol echad nislad mechaviro bipnei shu bekiruv imo. Because each one is just repelled from his friend because of him being so close to him. What this means, you know, in psychology, I once they in psychology there's this they teach that very often when family members and people that are very close, when they say and scream their head off, "I hate you, I hate your guts," what they're really saying is, "I love you." Meaning they're in such pain, dafka, because they feel so close to you, and dafka because they feel such a love to you, naturally. So that hurts more than anything. And therefore, it's now, they express it as hate, but in fact, that hate is based on the closeness, right? We know the closer the person is, chas v'shalom, that's where the worst strife and the worst machlekes comes up. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, the tremendous, if you want to say it, sinas chinam, the tremendous hatred that sometimes can be found within the Jewish people, unfortunately is found in the Jewish people, in fact, comes from the fact that deep down, we have a natural feeling of oneness, of closeness with all Jews. And that itself manifests itself sometimes in conflicts and even hate.
The story of Rabbi Akiva,
yeah.
He hated the Talmidei Chachamim so much, and right. Those are the people that are best suited to become Talmidei Chachamim. I think I heard from Kerub experts that the best candidates are the people who put up a fight.
Right.
Against it. Those who are apathetic, yeah, it's harder to reach them, but these other people,
right,
there's a chance that they can.
Right, because it means that they're alive. It means that they're very alive.
Exactly.
And yeah, 100%. Okay, so says Rabbi.
It means that they're not indifferent. The feelings can be polarized one way or the other.
Right.
But they're rooted in a common feeling.
Right.
So from love comes hate. And indifference doesn't bring to anything.
Exactly. Okay. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, V'chol ha'amim. So therefore, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe said, so the Mishpatei Hashem, which their whole mahus, the whole essence of the laws of Hashem are tzadku yachdov, that they work together because they're coming out, they're just expressions of, they're coming out of a klal. And memela, all the pratim of the Jewish people are automatically suitable and connected and are encompassed within that klal, Mishpatei Hashem, but that's only to the Jewish people. The non-Jews, it's not relevant to them. They're not, because they're not pratim that are coming out of that klal. They're not pratim that are coming out of this klal of the Torah, of Mishpatei Hashem. V'chol ha'amim, this is what he says now, lo yuchlu lehanes me'oir maklali shel Mishpatei Hashem. And all the nations are not able to derive benefit from the general light, that klali l'dika light, of the Mishpatei Hashem. Mipnei she'im ach pratim nivdolim zeh mizeh. Because they are just mere details that are separated. They're inherently separated one from another. Yispardu kol poyalei aven. Like the pasuk says, right? All the doers of misdeed or whatever are all separated. This is all based again on Maral really talks about this quite a bit. Is that the mahus of the, you know, you have, you could really see this in a certain sense from Chazal. Chazal say, right, that only Klal Yisrael is called Adam. And the Ramchal comes along and says that the Umay Sa'olam are really just byproducts of the Chet of Adam HaRishon. They were not supposed to be. Adam HaRishon immediately go into the stage of Geula, where he and thus all his children would be really Klal Yisrael. And but because he sinned, out of that sin splintered off various pieces that were nifradim, they separated from the klal. And those separated pieces, that's their whole mahus, is that they're separated from the klal. And that's what the Maral says all the time, that, you know, we're in, that's exactly what, when when the pasuk says goy echad ba'aretz, that our essence is goy echad, right? Haman says, right, am echad. He takes off on the fact that we're mefuzer mefurud, right? But he essentially is right? Is that the lashon? Does he lose the lashon? Am echad. Yeshno, am echad mefuzer mefurud. But yeah, he's showing the contradiction in it. They are inherently an am echad. They're inherently a one nation, but they're mefuzer mefurud, and therefore we can attack them. We can get rid of them. They're weak now because their oneness is not revealed. Okay, he thought that because of that. Yeshno, God is sleeping. Chazal say the darshan Yeshno that Hashem is Yashen, he's sleeping. If Klal Yisrael is splintered and so torn to pieces, they're so scattered and separated, it must mean that God is sleeping. Why is that? Because we're an extension. We're a chelik aleikum mimal. We're a portion, right? We're kiviyachal. We're an expression of God in this world, so to say. We're connected to Hashem. Our neshama is mamish neshama achas. So the same way Hashem is echad, so too we are echad. And if Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael's echad is not recognizable, and if things are so polarized and so splintered and so Hamanash says, oh, God must be sleeping, because his oneness is not showing in this world. Only Klal Yisrael shows that oneness. And the way we show that oneness, part of the base way we show that oneness, is by us being one, by us having shalom. Ad kedei kach, look at this, right? Chazal say that even when they're over the avodah zarah, which is like denying God's oneness, right? That's what the whole concept of avodah zarah is. Denying God's oneness. But even if they're Oivdei Avodah Zarah, but they themselves are getting along together, the Jewish people are getting along with each other, they're B'shalom, Chazal say, they still win wars. That's an amazing thing. Because their oneness together is an actual expression of the oneness of Hashem. It's like, it's really overriding the Avodah Zarah that they do. I mean, whatever, I'm just pointing this out like a very interesting thing to take note of. So,
can an individual Jew divorce himself from the Klal? I mean, it says by Nagadah Shal Pesach Ben Harasha, Hotziat Shmo Ben Miaklal.
That's a very good question, and I'll tell you what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe himself writes about that. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, in his Haggadah Shal Pesach, he has a commentary in Haggadah Shal Pesach. So he says that what is the lashon that we say to the Rasha? We say Ilu hayasham loy hayanig al kahotzi asas min a klal. Since he was mighty himself in a klal, ilu hayasham loy hayanig al. So had he been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, meaning because he's trying to take himself out of the klal. Had he done that in Mitzrayim before the Torah was given, he would never have been redeemed. But now that the Torah was given and Klal Yisrael is automatically one, he's automatically part of the klal, and even he will get redemption. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says. He's medayik the ilo yasham. We don't tell him like you're gone, you don't deserve to be redeemed, or you don't deserve to be part of. Like we tell him, if you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed, because back then we still didn't have the Torah. Back then we still weren't cemented into this klal. Right, Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar didn't yet take place, even though essentially, at least on a Baklach level, on a level of potential, of course, the idea of the Klal was there, because from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but apparently it was still possible to take yourself out of that Klal. But once the Torah is given, and Kud Shibrichu Yisrael V'Arayis Echadu, so this, that full oneness is just, we have that pact of oneness, by Har Sinai, Zel, there's no leaving it. You're in. You just have to try to reveal it in yourself and in others.
I heard once that when it says Haketes Shinav, that you knock his tooth out in order to give him a moon, because a slave that gets a moon, then he's free from being a slave, and that's how the slave goes out, even if he's a rasha.
What? So that's giving him away? I didn't understand. So what?
You give him a moon. So therefore, even regardless everyone was redeemed from slavery. He wouldn't have been redeemed from slavery, but because you would give him a moon by knocking out his tooth, and then he's also redeemed.
Uh-huh. Okay, cute. Okay, fine. So,
what does this have to do? How does it relate to the concept that there's 70 umot? Seems like every umah is like kilo hakivan itself.
Okay, it's a good question. We're going to see in the continuation. We're going to speak about this. He's gonna speak more about the idea. What is the klal by the goyim? We're gonna, Bez Hashem, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we'll get to it certainly by next time, hopefully. Okay, so he says v'chol ha'amim. So we said that. Okay, lefichach, and therefore yesh lef'amim shebedineim daninin lahem. There are times where we judge them based on their own rules, based on their own dinim, because they're not shaykh to our dinim. V'chukei Hashem heimach rak liYisrael, and the laws of Hashem are only for the Jewish people. Magid devorav liYaakov, right? Hashem told his words to Yaakov, chukov v'mishpotav liYisrael, his laws were given to the Jewish people. Le'asachein l'cholga, he didn't do so to all the nations. U'mishpatim bal yida'um, and he didn't inform them, he didn't give them mishpatim. V'heim heim, and those are the chukei chayim, the laws of life. Gam lamitchayvim badin shemirimim otam umetaknim otam. These are laws of life, even to those who come out chayiv in the law, right? The guy that's chayiv to pay, or chas v'shalom chayiv to be punished, or whatever it is, even them, because through the chiyuv, through the obligation that the Beis Din puts on them, that the Torah puts on them, mirimimotam, it raises them up, it elevates them, umetaknimotam, and rectifies them, shiunichnasim ba'orah shel haklal hamutzik shel Yisrael, that they should be able to enter into the light of that solidified klal of the Jewish people. Va'av sheim mitchayvim mitzad pratiyutam, and even though they become chayov mitzad their individuality, right? Hinom gam hem zochim bedin mitzad klaluyutam. But really it comes out that they've also merited through this din, they've merited based on their klal. And therefore Chazal tell us, you have to bring all your dinei Torah, all your machleksim and your arguments and your, right? You have to bring before the Jewish courts. And not before Goyish courts, even if the Goyish laws match and mirror the Jewish laws. Because it doesn't have that special tikkun. It doesn't have that special. It's not built into the fabric of the Klal Yisrael of the universe that it's going to give the person the proper tikkun and the proper elevation. In other words, there's something spiritual way past the actual physical din that's being given over. If that Goyish court will, based on, let's say, kefel, double, right, for stealing, he's going to say, okay, you're $1,000, you have to pay. You have to pay Reuven $1,000, and the Jewish court would do the same thing, but spiritually it's a whole different ball game. When the Torah says the Beis Din Shel Yisrael is going to say the same ply the same exact principle and the same exact halacha, it's going to give this person a tremendous ilui, and he's going to be receiving the light of Klal Yisrael and the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness on him, and he's going to, his neshama is going to be elevated, as opposed to if he gets the same thing in the Goyish court, it's not going to do anything to his neshama. It's not going to get him anywhere. So that's a very big difference. Okay.
Is there a heta for observant Jews to join a secular court as a judge?
All right, that's already.
There are observant Jews in secular courts that judge according to Goyish law.
Yeah, that's.
How do they do that?
Yeah, that's already. I'm not going to get into that. That's a halachic question of, you know. So they're joining a system that's not. They're not claiming to judge based on Torah. It's not the.
I can understand that in Goyish countries, but in a Jewish country, I think it's.
Oh, here in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, okay, and Echanami, it's a big problem. Yeah. Who else had a question?
Letter, I just want to mention that in a Goyish court, what you're doing, as you're explaining now, is that you're dealing with the detail of the here and now. There's no broader ramification than what's happening in the here and now. Whereas in a Beis Din, it's not just the here and now, it's the whole tikkun, it's the reality of that person's neshama. It goes all the way back. So it's the here and now in context of the person's neshama and what he needs to go through. And therefore it's a higher order level than what we'll find in a Goyish spirit.
Very well worded. Shkayach. Shkayach. Yeah. Anybody else?
The idea that when you pay because Beis Din has mechayev you that $1,000 as opposed to when a secular legal court obligates you to pay that $1,000, the difference with the tikkun of the neshama, is that because when he's paying the money, the reason he's paying is because Beis Din was mechayev me to do so, as opposed to if he's paying $1,000 because of some secular court. So that's the difference why this way it's po'el on his neshama and the other way not.
Yeah.
In other words, not because of the psak din. The psak din happens to be the same. But why?
If he's not mekabel the psak din, then it wouldn't. It wouldn't get his tikkun. So yeah, it's when the psak din is being carried out b'shem the Torah. So it has that koyach of Torah, the koyach of klal. Yeah. All right. Shavua tov to everyone. Okay. Good.